stop it right there. Who wants to share tonight? Why are you thankful for Jesus? How is Jesus so wonderful to you? Who wants to share tonight? How is Jesus so wonderful to you? We'll be first. What are you thankful to him for tonight? Evan?
I'm thankful for the revival meeting at Ambassador, and that's what makes me think of Jesus.
Amen. Hearing good preaching at a Bible conference. Savon? What are you thankful to God for tonight?
For him keeping me alive.
Amen. Him keeping us alive. Who else? What are you thankful to God for tonight? How is Jesus so wonderful to you? Who wants to share next? Come on, I know we all have something. John, thanks.
Whatever adversities you're going through in life, whether it's medical problems, financial, legal, whatever it might be, help lead that rock folks before us. He gives us strength through his Holy Spirit to get us over.
Amen. Helps us through trials. Darnell, what were you going to say?
My mom, something happened at my school, and I don't go there anymore. So my mom took me out, and we were talking with somebody from Eagle Academy, and they go to Eagle, and they were telling us how bad it was there. And my mom, she was wondering what she could do, what would God tell her to do? And she ended up talking to some people, and she started her own school.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Wonderful. All right. Praise the Lord. God moves in mysterious ways. Let's continue singing. Heaven is a wonderful place.
Heaven is a wonderful place.
Church. What a blessing that is. Let us bow together in prayer as we give thanks to the Lord tonight and worship him. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with thank you and praise for us being all assembled together so freely in this country to worship you, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on that cross at Calvary, save us from our sins. Lord, we pray if anyone's here tonight, and those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they'll hear that message tonight, maybe they'll make that decision, Lord. Father, if you bless these services tonight, and to also that you give those that are not here yet along their way, bring them here safely, Lord. In your name is praise.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just by way of announcement, does anybody need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. Okay. It says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It's good to have some blessings here tonight, some visitors. And a newborn little baby here tonight. Blessed to have. Would you introduce your baby for us? And so we can see.
Grayson.
This little Grayson. Everyone say hi, Grayson.
Hi, Grayson.
All right, let's give him a big round of applause. He's adorable. Is that your little baby brother, Viviana? All right. He's adorable. And is your name Laura, right?
Lauren.
Lauren, okay. Lauren and Grayson and Viviana and Catherine, that's right, Catherine. Good to have them back with us tonight. Then on this side, it's good to have Messiah's friend, Josh. Welcome, Josh. And next to Josh is William. Welcome, William. Good to have you with us tonight. And we're glad. Are you happy for your little baby brother? Happy for your baby brother? Cousin? Cousin, all right, good. All right, thankful for him. All right. Okay, and then on this side, it's good to have Briella and Bryson back with us, and it's good to have each one here celebrating tonight. Next month, we have we're going to have our gospel egg hunt here on the property. We have over 800 eggs. We're going to hide all over the property. So if anyone can bring in some candy or small toys that can fit in little Easter eggs, we'll assemble them all the Wednesday night before. And those up to 8th grade can find eggs. We let the little guys go first, and then the next oldest group, and then the next oldest group until everyone's found them. Then 9th through 12th grade, you can help us hide the eggs. We're going to need your talents of finding hiding spots and hiding the eggs starting at 10 o'clock that Saturday at 10 o'clock, not 11. It'll be Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m. to about 11:30. We'll have a nice time. So if you can help us that day, let me know, and I can, if you need a ride, I can pick you up. Is there anything? Yes, we can get you. We can pick you up that morning, okay? So let me know if you need a ride. Then this coming Sunday through Thursday, this coming week, who knows what it is? Each night. Evan?
Revival meeting, Jerry Gilmore.
Okay, and evangelist Rains as well. So we have a young evangelist. We'll be teaching the kids, 6th grade and younger, every night. Brother Paul Rains and his wife, they'll be taking the junior church. And then 7th and up are in here with Dr. Gilmore. Every night, Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m. So we want to get you in, not just Wednesday night. Try to come Sunday, try to come Monday night, Tuesday night. Everyone has my phone number, okay? My phone number's right here in the bulletin. Kids, teens, look up here. Take one of these bulletins home. My number is right there. So if you need a ride, say Monday night, you want to come to the meeting. Okay, give me a call. I can pick you up. Tuesday night, Thursday night. Thursday night, we're having something special next Thursday. We're having what?
Revival.
Family night, pizza night for the last night of the revival. So if you would like to buy a pizza, they're going to be about $6. To $8, and you can buy a pizza, and that way we can have a big pizza party after church, and that'll be a nice time to close out the revival meetings next week. So that's coming up, and so let's pray for the meeting. Pray for God to move upon us with His Holy Spirit. If you know someone who's not saved yet, bring them out one night to the meeting. Bring them out Sunday night. Bring them out Sunday morning. Bring them out Monday night. And bring your parents with you, and they'll hear the gospel and have a chance to get saved. So what a great blessing that would be. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? We are, tomorrow night is the Master Club's Regionals play dates. Okay, so tomorrow night, all those who are going to Regionals, those third through sixth graders, we're meeting here tomorrow night to practice our different things. If you're teaching a Bible story, we'll help you with that. If you're doing puppets, if you're doing something else for regionals, come on out tomorrow night so we can help you prepare for that. Starting at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. to 9 will be done. So come on out tomorrow night. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? All right, this time we'll ask for ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings tonight. There's evangelistic meeting flyers on the back table. It gives all the details about it this coming Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m. So you can take these, give them to your friends, your neighbors, invite them out. And what a great thing to see someone saved next week. Messiah, let's see, Paul, can you help out here? Appreciate that. Let us bow together in prayer. At this time.
Dear Lord, this day of the money about to keep the Lord just for prayer, amen.
Amen. Amen. Does anyone have an answer to prayer tonight or prayer requests? Take either answers to prayer or prayer requests. We do have prayer lists in the back there. If we can get a couple of our young men to Paul and Bryson, do you guys mind helping Evan pass out the prayer list? That'd be great. Thank you. All right. Who has a prayer request or answer to prayer tonight? Blessing. Okay. What's her name?
Jolene.
Okay. Who else? Prayer request or answer to prayer? Yes, Sahara.
I pray for my aunt Kimmy, who's going to be giving birth, and I think June or April. But like, I just want her to deliver the baby safely, you know.
Okay, good. And I think Melina and Darielle have an announcement for us tonight.
Yes, who? They do.
Melina, what happened today? Her mom had her baby, and how big? 6 pounds something, and his name? Justin. All right. So let's pray for little Justin, Darielle, and Melina's little brother, Justin, born today. And my wife started an outreach to moms and new moms and repeat moms. So, Carrie, why don't you share a little bit about that ministry? So that anyone who knows someone having a baby, they can go to you.
Okay, so I heard that some of the young people here a week or two ago had, like, Sahara said her aunt's having a baby. So, and so you guys picked up some of those gift bags available to encourage these new moms. And with this upcoming curated nurture and outreach to their new little ones. So if you do have a mom in need in your circle, we want to reach out to their needs as well as invite them up to church this week too. So Lord willing, we can be a blessing to them in whatever their needs are in a continual fashion. So let us know and we want to help out where we can.
Good. Yes. Carrie has access to resources on her Facebook group and other ways. So if a mom needs a swing, she can get a swing. If a mom needs a crib, you know, or if a mom needs something else, you know, we have resources and people to get those things to that mom. So let us know. If you know anyone who's having a baby, see Mrs. Rice, and she can give them an encouragement gift to start everything out. All right. Anyone else? Blessing or prayer requests? Trisha.
I'd like to praise the Lord. Evan and I took my husband, Justin, for his second cortisone injection in his neck yesterday, and the x-ray showed a tiny improvement. Thank the Lord for that. The inflammation is starting to lessen.
Amen.
It's very slight, but thank the Lord it's headed in the right direction. So please pray for, most of all, his spiritual needs. And also, please pray for my mom. We brought her to her primary care doctor on Monday, and he made the suggestion that he would like hospice to be looked into. So there was a nurse there today that I met, and they're looking into the criteria to see if my mom, and if everything would work out with Medicare. Some things have changed, and that's why he's suggesting hospice.
All right, let's pray for Angela Straw, who's 95 now?
Almost 96, March 30th.
Okay. Let's pray for Angela in this time of transition. Then also pray for Charles Tomasco, one of our friends of the church. His brother, Rich's brother, Charles, has congestive heart failure. He just found out today, so pray for him. Also pray for Rich, who has an infection in his back. I appreciate prayer for my back. I hurt one of my vertebrae, so I'll be leaving about 8:15 tonight just to take care of that. John will be taking the bus home, the van home. Pray also for AJ, who's come from time to time. His skin, he has... his skin needs healing. Then also pray for answer to prayer. Two people got saved today at Atlantic. Two Spanish ladies, Brunilda and Maria. I know limited Spanish, but one of the ladies there, Flower, she translated afterward, and they both raised their hand for salvation. So praise the Lord. Two Spanish ladies got saved through gospel and through the Reina Valera. I had the translation, so I showed them on my phone and read to them. And so pray for Brunilda and Maria in their new salvation. Anyone else? Answer to prayer. How did Atlantic and Meadowview go today? Those ministries. Carol, how did Atlantic go?
We just said how Atlantic went. unfortunately, some of our regulars were out on a bus trip to a different store. However, maybe that was a good thing because it helped us encourage other people to come. So we had, I think we had four new people. And as Pastor's already said, two of them got saved. And Pastor preached a wonderful message, and we had a great time of praise and worship.
Amen. Esther, how did Meadowview go?
Went very well. We had a new lady. She said she's been there before, but I've never seen her. She's Catholic. She said she wanted to come out for the services because it was convenient for her. So she came out today and said she'll be coming back again.
Amen. Let's pray for Martha, her salvation. Martha. All right. Any other prayer goes? Carol.
I did tell Flower that we would pray for her tonight.
Okay.
She is one of the Spanish lady that helped Pastor translate, but she has some health issues that she asked prayer for.
Okay, let's pray for Flower. Anyone else? Prayer requests or answer to prayer? Okay, any other adults? We want to take adults. And then we'll go back to second time people. Any other adults? Maria, praise the Lord. She has her car. Amen. Amen. And
thank you for the prayers. The prayers work is good today. I went to the place where you give the address information. I get it through in there, and I pick up all the stuff from the car, so they took the car for the insurance to stay place now.
Amen.
But I don't know if they're going to be, you just have to pray for say they're going to be towing, because it's going to be you turtle. So now they keep it there. I don't want to have a new car. I want to, they can do it. They keep it, the car, but then they buy a car. You know, instead of.
Okay.
I don't know. Wait for see that.
Okay. Let's pray for the car finalizing. All right. Anyone else? Okay. At this time, we'll dismiss for master clubs and for youth group. Teens go with Mr. Hodge, young people go with Mrs. Gibson, and then the toddlers go with Mrs. Rice, and the rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles tonight, Gospel of Mark. Postpone that till next month for Master Club. Mark chapter 10, as we close out Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, we have a neat passage here. Jesus is winding down. He started his march toward Jerusalem. He started his march toward Jerusalem. He says, I will, and Jesus went before his disciples. He didn't shrink away from the cross. He didn't say, oh no, now at my end of my 3.5 year ministry is ending. Disciples, let's go to Joppa, you know, or let's go sightseeing, you know. Jesus didn't shrink away from the cross. As we found out last week, it says that he went before his disciples, and they're just watching him amazed as he just marches right toward Jerusalem. And on the way, here's what happens. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark 10 and verse 46. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from your word, how your word changes our hearts, changes our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you've saved our souls, that you've granted unto us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We pray that You would speak to us tonight. Help us to learn and grow by being here. We pray for the other classes that are going on tonight, for the Master's Club. You'd bless each of those classes and help anyone who's not saved in those groups to get saved. Help the teen class. Help the Little Lambs class as well, Lord, that they would learn and grow from Your Word tonight. We pray You just bless this time in Your Word, Lord. We pray You'd fill me with Thy Spirit. Fill each one of us with Your Spirit, that we may learn and grow tonight and be doers of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 11, verse 46. Let's read responsively 46 through 48. Okay, I'll read 46, you read verse 47, and we'll both read 48 together. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And together, and many charged Him that He should hold His peace. But He cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So here we recognize here, this is a wonderful account that's in three of the four Gospels. Okay, and now the other, Matthew has two blind men, and Luke has one. And they all are talking about the same event with blind Bartimaeus here, and we see some striking things from this this incredible meeting with Jesus. First of all, we see that blind Bartimaeus he wanted the Lord. He stood still and commanded Him to be called. Remember that he was on his road to his cross, and that the tension of spirit, which the evangelist noticed as attaching to him then, which filled the disciples with awe as they followed him, absorbed him no doubt at that hour, so that he heard but little of the people's shouts. But he did hear the blind beggar's cry, and he arrested his march in order to attend to it. So here we see Jesus, who is on his way to the cross, and yet he's still concerned for one person, for two people that are there by the side, wanting his help. Okay. And let's notice here in verse 46, Jericho, there was a curse placed upon Jericho. Remember, after the walls of Jericho fell, what did Joshua say about that city? That he prophesied. He said that the walls are going to that whoever starts rebuilding the walls of Jericho, that they're not going to finish those walls until their grandson comes into basically that same age. And sure enough, that happened. They thought, oh, we'll just rebuild the city of Jericho in a year, two, three. Well, it didn't happen that way. There was a curse upon Jericho, and so it didn't get rebuilt for many years. Okay, and so, but then it finally got rebuilt in his grandson's years. That was back in King Ahab's day and King Omri's day, though actually we read on Sunday night. Well, here we see Jericho at this time was a flourishing city, the city of palm trees. Okay, if we go to Jericho today, it's barely inhabited. It's just kind of like a ghost town, and it's called Erica or Erico, and it's basically not really that inhabited anymore. Why? Because of things changing. But here we see at that time it was a very important city and populated. It meant the balsam wood. Right around that time, everyone knows Mark Antony and Cleopatra. Remember the Caesar around that time, right after Julius Caesar, the people who took over was Antony and Cleopatra. Well, Antony gave Cleopatra he started a palm tree trade and balsam wood trade in Jericho at that time. So he gave that as a prize to his wife, to Cleopatra. And so this is about 40 years later that Jesus is now, actually a little bit longer than that, about 60, 70 years later, Jesus is walking through the city, and here he sees a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that this man was a known person. He sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Here, this beggar and this blind man, he didn't have sight. He didn't have sight to see everything. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't see God in creation like we can. We, you know, beautiful night tonight, and we got to see some beautiful sights that we long to see this time of year. Ah, finally, the winter melting away, and the days getting longer, and the grass is starting to grow. And how many have tulips coming up in your yard, or daffodil things in your yard? Okay, you say, "Ooh, I didn't know we had some there." Okay, well, they come up every spring. Why? Who tells the daffodils and the tulips to come up every spring? Heaven? God does. That's right. He's got it on clockwork. Well, so here we see blind Bartimaeus. He didn't have the luxury of sight. And this is so important. I believe Bartimaeus is a picture of a person without Christ. A sinner is without spiritual knowledge. The blind are necessarily, by their deprivation of the highest of the senses, cut off from much knowledge of the outer world and of the properties of matter, and consequently of the appeals of the Creator to the mind and heart through creation. The sinner is a stranger to many pure and elevating pleasures. The enjoyments of the sightless are grievously curtailed. The votary of sin has indeed its pleasures, but they are impure, debasing, and unsatisfying. Think of us before we were saved. All we knew was sinful pleasures. And did they satisfy us? Were we satisfied by our pleasures, our sinful choices? No, we weren't. We blindly groped around. Maybe I'll be happy with this person over here, and they'll bring me happiness. That didn't work. Maybe I'll be happy with this thing over here, and that didn't work. It didn't give us happiness. Well, maybe I'll be happy with this vice over here, and that didn't work. And so we are a lot like a blind person who is seeking out what they don't know what for. The sinner lacks true guidance, just as the blind man depends upon others to lead him, and unless so assisted goes astray. So the enlightened are doomed to wander in the mazes of error and of sin. And lastly, the sinner has no assurance, for he has no means of safety. As the blind fall into dangers for want of sight, so those whose minds are dark know nothing of true spiritual security and have no well-founded hope. Okay, so this is Bartimaeus' life. All he knows is what people tell him. But the blind have an advantage. See, they don't have all the distractions that we see in front of them. When they hear something, they're able to zero in on it. You know, how many know a blind person? Okay, all right. Some of us do, some of us don't. Okay, if you watch them, I know somebody who's blind, and sure enough, their sense of hearing is incredible. God gave their other senses heightened elevation so that they can help compensate for the lack of sight. And sure enough, you say something in the room, and they're across the hall, or they're across the house, they'll hear what you're saying. Why? Because they're more in tune to hearing things. They're more in tune to their environment. Like they'll hear the tap tap of somebody, walking down the hall when we won't even think twice about it. They'll hear the different noises that people make walking around because they're listening for who's where in the room. Okay, so God gives blind people a heightened sense of awareness in many different ways. Well, here as soon as he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, verse 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He heard it through the town. He heard it all around where he went that there was a prophet that could heal people. There was a prophet who is a descendant of David, and sure enough, he can do incredible things that no one has ever done before. And you know what? Blind people, they have a way that their sight doesn't make them distracted or doesn't make them less inclined to believe something. Okay? They don't have, they can hear something, and they can weigh it out, and they can think about those thoughts, and they can just make a decision. Well, that's what he did. He said, I don't care what he looks like. I care what he does. I don't care if he looks plain. I care about who he is. And that's what some people, they looked at Jesus, and it says in Isaiah 53, it says that he had no form nor comeliness to him. So some people looked at Jesus and they said, oh, he looks like a common, average, ordinary carpenter. I don't think he's the Messiah. No. He's got a beard. He's got, you know, he's got maybe hands that are carpenter's hands. And I don't think he's the Messiah. And they immediately dismiss him. I think the Messiah would be a little more handsome, you know. Or I imagine him differently. Well, blind Bartimaeus didn't have that problem. He said, what? Jesus is here? He's around? Oh, I got it. I got to call out to him. And so he cried out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He gives him the title of the Messiah, son of David. We have no doubt as to whether Bartimaeus was believing on Jesus at that point or not. We have no doubt. Why? Because he gives him his messianic title. The cry of dawning faith. There is presumed a sense of privation, of misery, of need. This expresses itself when opportunity invites the expression. We observe a recognition of Christ's power and willingness to help and save. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus who drew near, he cried aloud for help. And this shapes itself into a definite appeal for mercy. And this appeal is distinguished by perseverance and persistency. What the people say? Verse 48. Many charged him, hey, Bartimaeus, quiet down. Don't you know that Jesus is busy? Don't you know that he doesn't have time for everybody? You've got to realize, all these people, if he went to every... Just quiet down, Bartimaeus. You need to just pipe down. Well, here we see the soul that truly feels its need and has caught a true glimpse of Jesus is not to be deterred from entreaties for grace and help. Obstacles may hinder the indifferent, but they quicken the zeal of those who are earnest. That when you and I, when we came to Christ, all we had to hear was who he was and what he was like. And we said, wow, that's who I need. I'm a sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten old sinner, and I'm a wretch, and I have no goodness in myself, and I need Jesus because he's the only one who can save me from my sins. We saw him because we saw our own sin, and we needed grace, and so it quickened his zeal. Those people charged him that he should hold his peace, but verse 48, but he cried out the more. A great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? If he wasn't really convicted of his sin, and if he wasn't really wanting to believe on Jesus, or wasn't, you know, he would have just quieted down. But we could see he believed that Jesus could save him and heal him. And verse 49, and Jesus stood still. What a great showing. An instance of Christ's compassionate interest. When the blind beggar cries aloud, Jesus hears. He pauses to allow an interview. He bids that the suppliant be brought to him. It is ever so. Nothing is so welcome to the Savior as the entreaty and appeal of the penitent and believing sinner. No voice is unheard. No wretchedness unfelt. No applicant rejected by him. The sinner's need is his concern. The sinner's cry prompts his interposition. Here, Jesus longs for that. You know, Jesus, wait, what are you doing? Don't you know you're going to the cross next week? Don't you know next week is Palm Sunday? This coming Sunday, Jesus, is Palm Sunday. Don't you know when you leave Jericho, you're going to Jerusalem to get lauded? Jesus, do you have more important things to think about than just this blind guy over here? You know, aren't you glad that Jesus has compassionate interest at any time? And I like what one commentator said. He said, "You know, it's the same is true right now. Do you realize the same is true right now? That right now, Jesus is listening and from heaven, and he's awaiting that next sinner to come to him. Do you realize that? He's just awaiting that next sinner to come to him. He's saying, hey, stop. I'm waiting for someone to share myself with someone. And I'm waiting to come into their heart to save them. That Jesus, just because he's not here on earth, doesn't mean he's not doing what he did anymore. No, he's doing it every day. He's drawing the sinner unto himself. Through the Holy Spirit's working and prompting, he's working on that heart. That the Holy Spirit is showing Christ to the sinner. It was so neat today at the at Atlantic to, as I was preaching, to hear these people who had a language barrier. You know, you think, well, someone with a language barrier, you know, they hear some of their own language, but more than half of it's in English. 2/3 of it's in English. 1/3 of it was in Spanish, as I was able to read and say a few words, and then as Flower was able to give some translation, you'd think, oh, you know, I'm not interested, you know. Oh, do I have to sit and endure this, you know. But they heard the singing. The singing was in Spanish and in English, so they delighted in the Spanish songs because it was in English and Spanish. Then they heard some in their own language in the preaching. And you know what? It did not deter them at all. They listened intently for what they could get. And then at the end, when I gave the invitation, if anyone would like to trust Jesus as Savior, boom, these two hands shot up. And they their hands shot up, and they wanted to know. And one of the ladies is Catholic, and she said, well, I've always known Jesus. Siempre. I've always known Jesus since I was a baby. I was baptized. And so I shared with her through the translator. I said, no, we haven't always known Jesus. There has to be a time, Jesus said, where you must be born again. You need to have a spiritual birthday. Just like you have a physical birthday. Well, when you were a baby, you didn't choose to get baptized. You didn't choose to get christened with that water. Your parents chose that for you. There needs to be now a time where you admit you're a sinner and believe on Jesus for yourself. You know, the Catholic Church is telling over and over to people, oh, just keep coming and doing the sacraments. Just keep sprinkling your children and just keep getting them the when they're in eighth grade. Make sure they get the what's it called? When they're in eighth grade, they get the I forget. They get something about confirmation. They get their confirmation, and when they're little, they get their baptism, and then they do this and that, and you make sure that they get it at every stage. And if they keep on living the Catholic way, they'll eventually maybe go to purgatory, and then after some years burning in purgatory, then they can get sprung up to heaven. Well, guess what? That's not in the Bible. None of that is in the Bible. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dario, I want you to look up here, okay? Don't be looking at what's in front of you. Look right up here. And so we see that Jesus doesn't say, do this, do that, do this, do that, and then, Bartimaeus, don't worry. I have come to give you sight, but it only starts here, Bartimaeus. You got to now keep on doing these sacraments, these means of grace, until one day when you die, maybe you'll get to heaven. Is that what Jesus told Bartimaeus? Oh, this is only the start for you. Boy, you've got a lot ahead of you. No, how sad that would be, right? We'd be reading this story and no hope at all. No, what did he tell Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. Oh, go, Bartimaeus. Go, he's calling for you. That's a good picture of what we should do every day, right? We should be the ones saying to lost people, hey, there's Jesus. He's right there. He can save your soul. you should go and go to Jesus. I can show you how to get to Jesus. First, you have to admit you're a sinner. Secondly, you have to realize you're on your way to hell. Thirdly, you got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and shed His blood in your place to cover all your sins. And fourthly, you've got to believe on Him as your Savior and repent of all your sins. And if that's what we should be doing. We should be ushering people to the Savior. And that's what these people did. Rise, He calleth thee. That's our job as Christians to say, hey, go to Jesus. And He, casting away His garment. Boy, he was laying there probably all day, and he had these robes on him or extra clothes on his legs because, you know, he's trying to keep warm. He's trying to keep comfortable probably underneath of him as he sat, and he's got these things on. And as soon as he heard that call, he said, whoa, get these off of me. I can't have anything hindering me from walking right to that voice. I got to get to His voice. And sure enough, they led him to His voice. There was nothing stopping Bartimaeus. That's a picture of us as Christians even. And for unsaved people, they got to put away the garments of sin. When someone comes to Christ, they can't just say, well, Jesus, I'm going to keep all my sins, but I'm going to ask You to save me. You know, it doesn't work that way. They have to repent of their sins. They have to say, well, wait a second. I can't come to Jesus and hold on to this sin. I can't come to Jesus and be wanting to stay sinful. I've got to say no to my sin. I've got to change my mind about my sin. I've got to believe on Jesus. And sure enough, as a Christian, a lot of times we're like, we go away from God and we become a backslidden and we just end up sitting there again, and we're sitting there and we say, why is this Christian life so hard? I can't see much. I can't see anything. Why do I have no spiritual sight to be able to see what God's doing? And why do I feel like I'm out of the will of God? And that's when we need to get up and, because Jesus is calling, put aside the garments of the flesh, the filth of the flesh, and say, wait, I don't want this hindering me anymore. I want to go to Jesus. And we go back to Jesus for forgiveness, for confession, for cleansing. And so he put those garments away and came to Jesus. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Wow, what a great question. What a great question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Just earlier in the chapter, James and John, they said, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we should desire. They had a blank request that they wanted to fill in. Master, we want You to do something special for us. Well, here Jesus now offers that same thing. Jesus said, what is it that I should do for thee? What is it that You really want me to do? He wanted them to get to their request, which is to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Him, which He said was not His to give. So here we see they had a selfish motive. Well, here, meanwhile, now Jesus gives this blank check, so to speak, to Bartimaeus. He said, what wilt thou that I should do for you? Notice here the purity of what this sinner wants. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, that was the perfect answer. That he wanted to receive his sight physically so he could see. But how much more importantly did Jesus want him to receive his spiritual sight so that he could be saved from his sins? And whenever Jesus did a miracle in the Bible, what always accompanied the physical healing? Does anybody know? Okay, yes, people followed, yes. Except for a few instances where Jesus said, no, it's better for you to stay. The maniac at Gadara being one of them. They always wanted to follow. But what always accompanied physical healing when Jesus healed people? What's that? Faith in God, okay? And most of the time, they also were saved as well. Possible exception being the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe she was already saved ahead of time. But most of the time when Jesus healed people from their physical problems, He also saved their soul. Here Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. How beautiful is this, that here Christ shows this compassion for him. He seized this opportunity. He made the most of it. And here Christ imparts the blessing. The grateful recognition of the boon conferred is a lesson to all who are blessed by Christ. As Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way, doubtless to testify to the pity. Here he didn't immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here we see the power of the Redeemer to glorify his deliverer and to invite others to extol and praise him. So does it become all of those whose eyes Christ has opened to witness to the divine healer and to say fearlessly in the presence of all men, "He hath opened mine eyes. Whereas I was blind, now I see." That how great is this message that Bartimaeus said, "Wait, Jesus, I love you. You healed my blindness. Now I can see, and now I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple." That's the way we should approach every day of our life. We shouldn't be saying, "Oh, thank you, God, for fire insurance. Thank you, Jesus, for that fire insurance from hell. Let me go on my way now. I'm out of here. I'm going to go back to my sinful ways. And you know, I won't be that bad. I'll dabble a little bit in sin, but, you know, I love you." No. Those who have truly recognized all that we have in Christ, in our salvation, we're going to be following Him, right? We're going to say, "Wait, it's not enough to just say, thank you, God, for fire insurance, and then go back to the world." We're going to say, "Wait, what's left for me in the world? What's left? What do people do in the world? Well, they curse and they swear and they take God's name in vain and they watch dirty things and they say dirty things and they drink things they shouldn't and eat things they shouldn't and put things in drugs in their body they shouldn't, and they're always looking for an escape in life. Oh, if only I can escape reality for just a minute, an hour, a day." And so they are always looking for escapes. But those of us who know Christ, we don't need an escape anymore. We need to hide in our refuge, which is Jesus Christ. He is our refuge amidst the storms of life, right? We all have storms in life. There is not one of us here tonight who's not going through some kind of trial or tribulation in our life. And so there's times we want to just escape. We say, maybe the world has something in those vices. But no, they don't have anything. Those vices only will make us sadder afterward, because now we have guilt compounded with our escape. We don't need what they have. We need to go to our refuge in Jesus Christ. There is a shelter in the time of storm, and His name is Jesus. There is a name that charms our fears, that calms our hearts, and gives us peace amidst the storm, and His name is Jesus. We need to go to Him for escape, for refuge, for solace in the storms of life. That's where prayer comes in. That's where reading God's Word comes in. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, so we know which way to go in life. And then as we pray to Him, He gives us the message that we need. He answers our prayers in deliberate ways. He says, "Okay, my child, you're right." And we say, "Oh, okay, now I can see. Okay, God's leading me here. Oh, okay, now I can see. He answered this prayer, and so I'm going this way. And oh, now I can see. He's doing this way." And so He leads us in life through the reading of His Word and prayer, and then our local church. You know, we'll hear a message in church. "Oh, that's just what I needed. I didn't know what to do in life." And so that's how God's Word affects us and shows us what we need to do next. And through prayer and through other Christians as well, Christians that are following God. And so Bartimaeus, he listened, and he was saved, and he received his sight. And here Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And he followed Jesus in the way. What a beautiful picture of what we need to do in life. This is the church's proper mission. The people attentive to Christ and friendly to the sufferer call the blind man, raise his hopes, encourage his approach. This conduct is exactly that of our Lord's faithful ministers and of all His true disciples. The church cannot save, but its privilege and its duty is to point to Him who can save. The vocation of the church is to tell of Jesus, to point to Jesus, to lead to Jesus. This is the true ministry, at once humbling and ennobling. For whilst it presumes the spiritual powerlessness of man, it affords the human benevolence of an abundant scope. Okay, so chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." So here we see, this is connected. He leaves Jericho. Jericho is right next to Jerusalem. He leaves Jericho, and what's the very next part for him to go? Jericho here, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea. So he leaves Jericho, and sure enough, goes right up the mountain. There's a mountain here, mountain range. Okay, goes right up the mountain to Jerusalem. So he's marching from Capernaum down for the final time. He's never going to pass this way again. He's never going to go to Jericho again. The final time he leaves Jericho, he then goes to Jerusalem. See, Jesus stopped his mission, his march, for a blind man. What should you and I be doing in our Christian lives? Should we be so busy with life that we can't stop to help someone come to Jesus? I was thrilled tonight to see the visitors. You know what that means? That means there's people who care for someone else. People who say, hey, you know what, I'm so blessed by the Lord Jesus that I don't want Him just for myself. I want someone else to come to Jesus too. That's a blessing. That means that someone cares about someone else. And a lot of our teens and our kids are getting that soul-winning desire. They say, hey, I've been saved, but my friend at school, they're not saved yet. Last week, Armani invited Cassandra, and Cassandra got to come and hear the gospel for the first time. She didn't get saved yet, but at least she's starting to that conversation, and that she's starting to hear the gospel message. And so this is what we all need to do. We need to be mindful that Jesus is still in the saving business every day. He's just listening up from heaven now. He's not here on earth passing through the crowds, but He's up in heaven drawing men unto Himself through the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, and His call, through the Word of God, and through creation, through our conscience. You realize God has put all kinds of roadblocks in people's way to keep them from going to hell? The roadblock of creation. Hey, just look outside and you'll see amazing things that no human could ever do. Hey, just wake up in the morning and do something bad, and you'll hear something in your conscience say, you shouldn't have done that. That's the conscience. That's another roadblock to hell. Hey, turn from your sin. You got to find the Savior. God's put up the roadblock of creation, our conscience, the Holy Spirit, which is tugging on all men all the time. It says that Jesus said, when I go, I will send to you another Comforter, and He will convict men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so what the Holy Spirit is trying to keep people from hell. And then the fourth thing, the Word of God. The Word of God is God's roadblock to keep people from going to hell. This is the specific revelation. All three of those things are pointing people to God's Word, how they can escape hell. So God has all these roadblocks to keep people from out of hell and to put them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And our job is to help them. Say, hey, come with me to church. Hey, we're having revival meetings next week. We're having evangelistic meetings. You've got to come out and hear. Here, it's going to be a great message. Action-packed. Okay? And invite them. And what a great thing that would be. What a great thing it would be tonight if somebody got saved. Last week, Pastor Logan preached in here, and preached a great message, encouraging message, and then I was able to go over to the kids group and the Master Clubs group, and I knew some had been coming for a little while, and I knew they probably weren't saved yet, so I said, Carol, do you mind if I say a few words? She said, sure, go ahead. And I said, if anyone here doesn't know Christ as Savior yet, if you would like to learn to talk to me about it, I can show you from the Bible in a few minutes how to be saved. And that was about 20 minutes before this, about 7:40 last week, 7:30, 7:40. And sure enough, instantly, three hands shot up. And they said, I want to talk to you, Pastor. I need to talk to you. Two were Christians who were very convicted of their sins that they were doing lately and over the period of months. And one said, I've heard about Jesus, what he has done in this church, and I need him. And I was able to lead him to the Lord. So the people are hungry for Jesus. All we need to do is speak up. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. Be reminded of these great truths from blind Bartimaeus. What a great picture he is of all of us when we came to Christ. We were without sight and we needed Jesus as our Savior. And how Jesus miraculously heals him and saves him. And he becomes a devoted follower, disciple of Christ. Lord, help us to be devoted disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Our whole life, Lord, help us to have a passion for you, which will then give us a passion for others. Lord, we want our whole family to come to Christ. We want all of our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors to come to Christ. Lord, we know that everyone has a choice to make, and not everyone is going to get saved, but Lord, we pray that you'd help us to bring as many with us as possible into your kingdom. We thank you for this time. We pray you'd be with our prayer groups. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll break.